The question today is, how many forms of easy believism are there? Well, that's more than I want to think about. In fact, if we had one, that would be one too many. And yet, we have many out there today, many forms, because the devil is always changing. He's always coming up with new this or new that. Well, it's not really new, but he's changing in the sense of God's original. But the devil, he uses things and twists them around here, there, and everywhere. And the Bible said, don't be given in Proverbs, don't be given to someone, meddle with someone who changes all the time. And that's what exactly is happening in the churches. We've come up with more plans to try to get more numbers, more nickels, and more noses. And they're using the easy believism method. I know that's a word that's been coined over the years as far as, but I think it comes from where Jesus dealt with the rich young ruler, where that he came and he wasn't willing to pay the price to be saved. And Jesus let him walk away and didn't try to soften the message to him like so many are doing today. And as a result, when he walked away, he told his disciples that, because he told him one thing you lack, but he told the disciples, and of course he had many riches, and he told the disciples that it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter heaven. And the disciples knew exactly what he was saying. It wasn't a camel's eye gate over there that some call it in Jerusalem, where they get down on their knees and crawl in after dark, as some try to say, and Lord help. But it's talking about a surgeon's needle or a sewing needle, where he said, because they said, Lord, who then can be saved? They knew that it was impossible for anybody to get through a sewing needle's eye, a camel to do that. But you see, the Bible, then Jesus said to them, with man it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. I want to tell you, salvation is of the Lord, and it takes the work of the Lord in any method that leaves out God or His work and Holy Spirit in a person's life. It becomes an easy believism method. You may not label it that. You could call it something else in some cases, but it does. Now, I know when I first surrendered to preach back in 1973, I was lost at the time, didn't know it, I preached 8 years lost, but when I first surrendered to preach, I went to some sort of Lord conference. I don't mind telling you where I went. I went to those, and I heard those messages on Let's Go Soul Winning. I'll not deal with the names there as far as the individual names, but we heard those, and it's challenging. Even though I did not agree with the tactics that this man had proclaimed about raising your hand and repeat after me, I still wanted to build a great church. I was challenged to build a great church, and if I build a church, it's not going to be great. It might be great by world standards, but I don't tell you, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. And so as a result, I encountered this easy believism in that conference, but yet I still encountered it firsthand at work in a church when I went to a meeting in McKenzie, Tennessee. We used to visit the churches trying to build a little goodwill, and we went to a church there, and they had a man who was actually had memorized a larger portion of the Bible, and he took the pulpit away and just walked around with a mic in his hand, about like a Las Vegas star, kind of, the way it was portrayed. I don't know what he preached on or what he dealt with. He quoted a lot of Scripture and showed us that he was able to quote the Scripture, but then he had the people to raise their hand if they were lost, and then he had people to raise their hand if they didn't know whether they're saved or not. And then he said, if you raised your hand, whether you're lost or whether you don't even know where you are, pray this prayer with me. And he started out by saying part of a prayer, Lord, and then skip a space and give them time to say it in their heart or in their mind behind him. And then after he went through the whole thing, and then he asked in that prayer, it asked him to save him. And he says, now then, and if you prayed that prayer, whether you're lost or whether you don't know whether you're lost or not, you are saved by the authority of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. You're saved. And then he had them walk down the aisle, and they come popping their bubble gum, and first one thing and another, and then he had them write in their Bible the date that they got saved. He even looked at his watch and said, and gave them the time, like 8:32 or whatever. It was that time at night, and therefore he gave them their assurance. Folks, the assurance comes from the gospel, not from man. But I knew that was wrong that night as I saw it firsthand. So I had already discovered it was wrong, and I would fight that tooth and toenail. I fought it then, because I knew that it wasn't right. I knew it was making children twofold more the child of hell. Now, some people will say, well, we had one saved. Maybe one out of ten is saved. I've heard them use that expression by practicing that easy believism method. But, folks, I'm going to tell you, if one was saved by using that method, that means that the Holy Spirit of God had done His work on their heart, brought them to the end of themselves, and that godly sorrow had produced repentance in their heart, and faith had been given to them. And when repentance and faith was granted to a person, they can obey the gospel by believing, by repenting and believing. And if they did, if they were that way, that means that that work was done. And no matter what they said, no matter what they practiced, that one had been saved because it had nothing to do with the preacher. It all had to do with God. And I'm saying if, because most of the time there's not even any God around that stuff. But the thing about it is, if that was the case, that one would have been saved by practicing right, and ten, the other nine, would not have been deceived. Oh, I know it wouldn't have been as good to look in the papers and whatnot, but I want to tell you, you don't need that. Some say another way that they use that, say if you just pray this prayer, and they call it the sinner's prayer, Luke chapter 18. That's a form of easy believism, just to pray, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Now, if you said that prayer, you're saved. Folks, I want to tell you, they don't understand that that man, because the Lord spoke that parable, and it was a parable, but that man prayed that prayer. He had an idea. He understood what it meant to be merciful, which means that Christ was his propitiation, and that means he's my sacrifice, he's my substitute, he's my mercy seat. And if one prayed with understanding that prayer any time, that means God's done a work in their heart. And that wouldn't be easy believism. That'd be real salvation. But nowhere in the Bible did anyone else pray a prayer like that to be saved. In fact, some of them didn't even pray a prayer. Now, you might be praying that prayer when you're saved, but it has to be a work of God because salvation is of the Lord. So that's another form of easy believism. I've heard people and seen people write their papers, their evangelistic papers, and say, we had so many pray the prayer last week in our meeting. Well, praise God for praying the prayer, but it wasn't salvation. That's just making them twofold more the child of hell. And so this thing of raising your hand and praying this prayer is a form of easy believism. Even saying to a person, even if they don't know whether they're lost or saved, to pray a prayer. Folks, you're going to have to be lost. When it's going to have to become a reality before you'll ever appropriate faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so all of those forms are just easy believism. Some say just ask Jesus in your heart. The Lord don't want to come in your heart. He wants to give you a new heart. That's not scriptural. That's not scriptural. Some says just open your heart. The knob's on the outside. You open your heart and let Jesus come in. I'll tell you, Lydia's heart, she was worshiping the Lord. She desired the Lord, but the Lord had to open her heart. I mean, yes, she desired the Lord because the Lord had been working on her. But this thing of just open your heart and let Jesus in is unscriptural. It's an easy believism form. Others just have what they call a name it and claim it. Really, it's just a word only. We fuss sometimes and people preach against those, this health and wealth crowd who has a name it and claim it a verse that they've got. And that's word only, and that's not right. And so as a result, as many are going to that. They'll fight the easy believism or raise your hand, repeat after me, but they'll take the word and they'll equate it with the Holy Spirit and they say that they're in God's stead. They're preacher there, and I know the Bible says we are ambassadors and we are in God's stead, but it doesn't mean to give false doctrine. And they'll say we're in God's stead, and as long as we preach the word, and sometimes what they call preaching the word is a false doctrine, false ideas that of their own, and they said if you'll just ask Jesus to save you while I'm doing that, you'll be saved. Hogwash. That's not scriptural. That's ungodly. That's wicked to the core. I don't care who it is. It's easy believism in a different form. You may fight one form, but it's easy believism. You don't need to. That's not right. There's those that believe they're just in the elect, yet they have no Holy Ghost conviction. They're believing another doctrine. They've been deceived, and they're just another form of easy believism. You see, Romans 10:13 method is, I was against most of that up to this, but then the Romans 10:13 method is what I practiced for those years. You see, that Romans 10:13 is to take the Roman road, get people to say they're a sinner and come down the Roman road, so-called Romans 5:12, Romans 3:23, and all those in order to whatever you put them in, and then come into place and now whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever means you, right? Yes, it means me. Well, let's pray. So you get down to altar, and since you're against the easy believism, raise your hand, repeat after me, and easy prayerism, a praying the prayer. You'll say, well, just pray, and you'll pray, and then they'll pray silently, and then you ask them, are you saved? And they'll say, I don't know. And if they're still, maybe God's dealing, and they'll say, I don't know. And then you'll say, now listen, and the preacher will raise his voice just a little bit and put a little pressure on them and says, now the Bible said. And then they would say, this, or whosoever, is that you? Yes. And he said, if you'll call, he would save you. Is that what it says? Yes. That's what he said. Let's pray again. And this time you pray out loud. And the reason they want you to pray out loud is so that they can hear you pray, so that they'll know that you called on the name of the Lord as far as the outward part is concerned. And then after you pray, you say, are you saved? And if they say, I don't know, then you raise your voice and say, are you calling God a liar? God said, if you'll pray this prayer, if you'll call on me, I'll save you. If you called on him, you're saved. Well, folks, you don't have any right to tell somebody they're saved. I mean, that's not right. That's not, listen, you can call all day with your head, but if you don't call with your heart, and no man can call Jesus Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Listen, folks, there's a lot of different forms of easy believism, and it's filling our churches with numbers, but they're lost. The pews are lost, the pulpits are lost, the deacon boards are lost in many of our Baptist churches. I'm talking about them. They're supposed to have the truth. I'm talking about them that don't have the truth, but the thing about it is, there's so many forms, you can't tell how many there are. So the question was, how many forms of easy believism are there? I have no idea. All I want to do is study the real, find out what the real is, and be like the man who went off the FBI back years ago from down in Mississippi. He went off to study to learn to detect counterfeit money. He came back after 3 months of studying, and his daddy said to him, he said, son, so what does counterfeit money look like? And the boy said to dad, I don't know. He said, well, the son, what did they, didn't they hire you to learn to detect counterfeit money? Yes, Dad, they did. He said, what does it look like? He said, I don't know. He said, well, what have they been doing these 3 months? He said, they've been showing us the real. We've handled the real. We've studied the real. We know what real looks like. Then if counterfeit shows up in any of the many forms it comes up, then we know it's not real. And that's the way we need to do. We need to study what real salvation is and know what real salvation is. Then when easy believism pops up its head, it matters not how many forms or how many ways it comes. You can say it's not real. And if it's not real, therefore it's something else and it's not of the Lord. May God help us to know that salvation is of the Lord and stay away from this easy believism. May we practice right for God's glory. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again on the air or in the air. May the good Lord bless you is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.